All right, praise the Lord. So good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I was thinking about this last song, Blessed Be the Name of Jesus, verse 4. I'm so glad He took me in. Is that where you are this morning? I'm so glad that He took me in. He's forgiven my transgressions. He has cleansed my heart from sin. I will praise Him. You know, if Jesus has cleansed our heart from sin, we will praise Him. And I also was so blessed with the next to last song there where I can hear my Savior calling. Do we hear the Savior calling for us? It says here, I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. And then the last verse, it says, He will give me grace and glory and go with me all the way. Is that where we're at this morning? And I pray that we will all, that's where we will all be at by the end of this this morning. Well, welcome to all of you. God bless you all. Welcome to all the visitors. I'd like to begin with Isaiah 1:9. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, as with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from with the tongues from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard a voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go. That's where I am this morning. I'm standing before you here this morning, realizing that there are many man hours here in front of me, and that you are looking for a word from God. And let's just look to God this morning, because I have nothing to bring of myself. But I'm trusting the Lord that He will bring a message to all of us that can be of use to us. So let's pray. Our blessed Heavenly Father, O God, Thou art worthy of all praise and glory and honor. And Lord, you know who I am. You know that I am just an earthen vessel. You know that I am just clay, and that there is nothing good within me. But Lord, I pray that You would anoint up my lips, dear God, that I might speak Your words, Lord, that we might glorify Your name this morning, dear God. Oh, I pray, dear God, this morning that You would come down in Your fullness and in Your might and in Your power, dear God, and anoint us, Lord, with Your Spirit, that we might speak Your word, Lord, that Your name can be exalted and lifted up this morning, because You alone are worthy to receive praise and glory and honor. And Lord God, I commit this morning into Your hand. I pray also for the children's lesson and for the main message, I just pray, Lord God, would you pour out your spirit in our midst this morning, dear God, and bring a holy hush and reverence upon us this morning as we are gathered in the house of God, as we are gathered to worship you this morning, Lord, in spirit and in truth, dear God. Oh, I pray, Lord, have your way this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In James 4, it says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Life is brief. Life is short. We have only one life to live. And if we live it for ourselves, what good will it do? What good will it do if we only live our life for ourselves? It's gone. It's gone forever. No glory and honor to our God. The Jesus that died, that suffered for us. If we live our life for ourselves, there's no glory for him. Can we get a hold of that? Can we get a hold of that, young people? Old people, older people, whoever we may be here this morning, can we get a hold of life is but a vapor? Life is brief. Life is short. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Ecclesiastes 12:1. While the evil days come not, nor the days years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Psalm 90, verse 4 says, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourishes and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. Can we get a hold of that? You know, we're born here in this earth just like grass. And here we are this morning. We've been born and we've grown up, some of us. But we're just like grass. And it's soon cut down, and it withers, and it fades away. That's what our life is like. Can we get a hold of that? The days of our years are 70 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is our strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Let's just get a hold of what our life is all about. I'd like to talk this morning about the end of the world. What do we think about when we talk about the end of the world? What do we think about? Is it some future event far away that we can't get a grasp on, that we can't get a hold on? We just don't know what it means. Is it ever going to come to pass? You know, what does it mean? The end of the world will come someday. A question for you. Did you know that every day in the newspaper we can read of the end of the world? The newspaper talks about the end of the world every day. On December 26, 2004, when the tsunami hit Indonesia, the end of the world came to over 2,000 people. 200,000 people. Do you think those 200,000 people were all ready to see the end of the world? Do you think that they had any idea that that day they will get to see the end of the world? The end of the world is not something way out there. The end of the world is when we die. Yes, I believe that this earth will pass away like the Bible says. But in reality, the end of the world is when we die. And that could be today. That could be tomorrow. Any day. You know, can we get a hold of that? The end of the world is when we die. On Tuesday, January the 12th, 2010, the end of the world came to over 200,000 Haitians. That was the end of the world for them. I hope many of them, as they were trapped, and it was their agonizing, they called out upon the Lord and were saved. But we don't know. And we don't know if we will have that opportunity. But when that time comes, that is the end, and we will stand before the judgment seat of God. We will stand before the judgment seat of God, and we will have to give an account of what we have done with our life. I was looking at the obituaries this week. Earlier this week, we attended the funeral of Mrs. Porter, which was Judy Rennie's mom. And we attended that funeral, and she was 100 years old. Not all of us are going to get to the age of 100 years. But all of us, it is appointed unto us once to die. And so we don't know if it's going to be today or tomorrow, or if it's going to be 100 years from now. Here in on March the 5th, it says, Katie S. Esch, 8-month-old infant daughter of Michael K. and Rachel K. Stolzfus Esch. And it also gives a in January the 25th, it says, Benjamin Isaac Unsch, age 10, of Elizabethtown, went to be with Jesus at the Hershey Medical Center. He died unexpectedly after becoming ill. He was born on May the 27th, 1999, in Philadelphia. Julianne Craig, age 5, went to stand beside her Savior on Friday, February the 12th, at her home. How many of you remember this one? A 17-year-old from Reynolds died in a violent car crash on a Montana highway while driving home from a family trip. This was 2.5 years ago. This was Paul Weaver. I think we all remember that. The newspaper, or the statistics say that 5,864 teen drivers, ages 15 to 20, were involved in fatal crashes in 2009. 5,864 teen drivers, ages 15 to 20. How many of these teenagers do you think had any thought of facing the end of the world that day? You think they went down the road and thinking, the next minute I'll be facing the Lord Jesus? I don't think so. I think they were just like all of us. They were going about life as usual. Maybe some were drunk. Maybe some were even praying. I don't know. But the important part is, are we ready? Are we ready? When our time comes to stand before the Lord Jesus, are we ready? Here are a few more statistics. Automobiles accidents are the top killer among teenagers. You're more likely to get in an accident at 16 than any other age. Accident rates for 16 to 19 year olds is higher at those ages than any other group. You might be in here this morning and you think, well, I'm a careful driver. That won't happen to me. But you know what? All these 5,864 people probably thought the same thing. All these teenagers, as they were driving down the road, they probably thought the same thing. It's some distant thing. The end of the world is some distant thing. But they found out that it's not some distant thing. It's now. It's here and now. And one day, we will find that out for ourselves. So for you and I, the end of the world may come today. It may come tomorrow. It may come any day. It could be very soon. Yes, it could be way out there. We could get 50, 75, 100 years old. But many do not make it that far. And for over 5,000 people, over 5,000 young people, last year, they faced the end of the world. Over 5,000 young people, they faced the end of the world. Were they ready? Are you ready? Are we ready? Are we ready to face the end of the world? Matthew 19:20, the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? There was a young man. He thought he was okay. He stood before Jesus in his natural body. And the young man said, all these things I have kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? I'm okay. I'm okay, am I not? But Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. You know what? I believe that says, that is talking about earthly goods somewhat, but I believe it's more talking about our life. Go and sell our life. Go and sell your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. Go and sell your life. Go and then thou shalt have treasure in earth. A treasure in heaven. Then thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. After you sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ, then come and follow me. He's asking us to live a consecrated life day by day. A consecrated life day by day for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we do that? You know what? The young man, when he heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What are we dwelling on? What is our heart set on? Do we have great possessions? Is our mind set on the American dream? Is that what we want to be? Do we want to be somebody that the world looks up to as, oh, look what he has achieved? great big bank account, all these things. Is that what we want to be? It says he had great possessions. You know, we can get wrapped up and carried away with our possessions. But Jesus said to his disciples, "Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." What he's saying is that if we think we're rich, if we think we have everything together, you know, that man will hardly enter into heaven. You know, is that what we're thinking this morning? Do we have everything together? Or are we just an earthen vessel that God can use? You know, if we're filled with self, if this vessel, this earthen vessel is full of self, God can't use that. But if we empty the vessel, if we empty our lives, then God can use us. So where is our hope? Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Is that right? Our hope is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. 1 Thessalonians 2:19 says, "For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming?" 2 Thessalonians 2:16, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and God, even our Father, which has loved us, and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." 1 Timothy 1:1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of our God, of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope." Many times in the Bible we see that Jesus Christ is our only hope, and He is. You know, that's Jesus Christ came, He died, He suffered. And we could go through all that. We don't have time to go through the suffering of Jesus Christ. But just imagine how Jesus Christ suffered and died. You know, He suffered there in the garden. He suffered things that you and I have never suffered. Doesn't matter how much we have suffered in this life. We have never suffered to the extent that Jesus Christ suffered there in the garden and as He went to the cross. Titus 2:13, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." Are you looking for that glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we looking for His appearing? Are we looking with anticipation? The Bible says that we need to have our gaze fixed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to long for His appearing. Are we longing for His appearing? First Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Jesus saith unto him in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." No man. If we hope to come to Jesus, to the Father, to God, if we hope to make it to heaven, it says, "No man cometh unto the Father except by me." We have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." But in Isaiah 53:5-6, it says, "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." Again, it is Jesus Christ and Him only. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. That's who we are as fallen men. With the fallen nature that we have, that's who we are. We've gone astray. We've turned to our own way. We want to live for ourselves, don't we? We want to live for ourselves. Do we really? What does that bring? If we just live for ourselves, if that's our hope, if that's our goal, if we just live for ourselves, what do we have in store for eternity? Eternal, the Bible says eternal hellfire will be in store for those. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. He died to take our iniquity upon him, upon himself. That's why he suffered and died. So that he can take that, our iniquities, and take them to the cross. And he's not going to do that unless we give up ourselves. If we give up ourselves, then he can take our iniquities and our sins to the cross. But if we're just so content to live our life for ourselves and for earthly gain and all these things, that's not what he came for. He came to set us free from those things. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Just be an example for the believers. Young people, are you an example? Are you an example for the believers? Even the unbelievers, are you an example? Are you a good example? Are you a bad example? He says, be an example for the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I would to God that each one of you young people could stand before us here and exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come up here to the pulpit someday. Not someday in the distant future, but come up here and give a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. What kind of a testimony do you have? What would you share if you'd come up here? Would you share of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you? Or would you have only that which you've done for self? Is that all you would have to share? I would to God that you would have a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 9:27 it says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. 28, it says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. And we know not if we have another day to live. We know not. Do we have one more day to live? I just bring that challenge to all of you. What if today was our last day? What would we do if we knew that tomorrow would never come? How would we live our life today? What would we do if we know that tonight we would stand before the judgment seat of God. Let's ponder that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, blessed be the name of Jesus. I just pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would take these words and glorify yourself. I pray that these words could be an encouragement to someone, dear God, an encouragement to turn to Jesus, an encouragement to live a life that glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray this morning, dear God, that the name of Jesus can be exalted. I pray, dear God, that every person here in our midst, dear God, would be able to stand before the judgment seat of God and know the answer. Know that God has made them clean, has washed them from sin, washed them from their own selfishness. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, would you do it for each one of us, dear God. Your name is to be exalted, dear God. It is only through the name of Jesus Christ that we have any hope. But Father, this morning I commit this all into your hand and trust, dear God, that you, your blessings will be on the remainder of the service. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that searching message. Are we ready for the end of the world in our lives? I was challenged. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto the God in the heavens.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. To return to the main menu, press 0. You may leave us a message by pressing 099. Or if you would rather speak to us in person, you may call us on our cell phones. For most, dial 717-656-9576. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 088. To find out how to listen to a church service, press 077. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.